News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time right now, 2.25 PM. Let me tell you, if you find yourself getting outside of the broad range of our AM, FM capabilities right here at WVNN, does not matter. Does not matter at all. Because like I like to tell folks, you can take us on vacation. No matter where you are in the world, you can still hear the show. Just talking to someone this morning, by the way, who lives outside the range and wanted to know how to find it. I said, rightsideradio.org. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. And so just know that you can listen to this show all over the place. That's why we have so many listeners from outside of the usual AM, FM. But yeah, I got to tell you, too, there's a lot on that website. Please check it out. I would encourage you to listen to our podcast. So we take parts of the show. Copper will kind of segment them up into manageable sections and put them out where Birdman can grab them. And Birdman then takes them, uploads them into every format for podcasting known to man, I think, and gets them out there where you can grab sections. Like if you just heard, say you heard my Right Side monologue and you want to hear it again or send it to a friend, or you heard an interview that we had with somebody, or you've got just a section you missed because you were, you know, doing something else. Doesn't matter. Go to our rightsideradio.org website. Go to the podcasting section. You can download any segment of the show from the usually Birdman's got them up by the evening of the same day. So, yep, that's that. And we've got we're almost at 26,500 downloads for the podcast. So, lots going on the website. Check it out, rightsideradio.org. Hey, we've got breaking news on two stories. So, I'm going to go into the triple dipper in a few minutes, but let me just tell you this. We got two breaking stories, one local, one international. I'm not sure which one to go with first. I'll tell you what, just out of courtesy for the fact that one of them involves war, let me do that. Headlines right now, U.S. is warning that Russia could invade Ukraine at any time. Now, we've been hearing this for a while. We've been hearing that there is a potential imminent invasion. I believe that there likely is. I mean, you don't mass this much military effort into a confined space and not do something with it at this point. General Jack Keane was on a moment ago on Fox, right before the show came on, and he said that he believes that the diplomatic efforts have ceased as of yesterday. He said as of yesterday, the British envoy was basically belittled by the Russian foreign minister, which indicates that they are through with you. You are hereby dismissed, is kind of the way it came across. And I read in one notification a little while ago that all foreign travel has been curtailed by Russian officials. Visits that were planned to other countries, to the Olympics, to otherwise, have all been stopped, and they are returning to the house. The White House is urging all Americans to leave Ukraine immediately. So there's that. There's breaking news on that. We will follow it. If something breaks anytime on the show, we will jump right in and tell you. The next thing is more localized. So some of y'all may have figured out by reading between the lines a little bit that I am an Auburn fan. I have been watching the situation with Coach Brian Harsin. Well, as of 20 minutes ago, what time is it, 2:28? Okay, 35 minutes ago, Auburn has announced that they are retaining Brian Harsin and said that they did conduct an investigation because there were allegations by some of the student athletes who left the program. That they did not like his style, that they felt like he was overbearing in some way. I mean, that sounds a little snowflakish, but there it is. Nonetheless, President Googe, who's a good guy, I know him. President Googe, the president of Auburn, he said his office conducted an investigation because that was their responsibility to do. They did not want to abdicate their responsibilities. So they did conduct an investigation, and they found no merit that was worthy, that led to the point of being considered worthy enough to let him go. Now, he would have had an $18.5 million buyout unless they had terminated him for cause. Either way, they'd have been in court for a while, because $18.5 million, I'd have gone to court. Anyway, Coach Harsin is staying with the program. We'll talk about that more later on, probably. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Here we go. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right here on the News Talk powerhouse of North Alabama, WVNN. And according to the polls, this is the biggest show for afternoon drive in the afternoons in North Alabama. And that's because of y'all, man. That is not our doing. That is basically just favor with you guys, you bunch of right side ruffians out there who listen to the show every day. And it's an honor to have this platform. Listen, I'm doing number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Sweet Home Alabama because I'm just talking about stuff. I got a smorgasbord. I got a buffet. I got a vast cornucopia, if you will, of documentation of stories from across Alabama right here in your backyard. I mean, here's the deal. I mean, every once in a while, it is so easy for me, for a lot of us, really, to get just constantly swept up into what's happening in D.C., what's happening in D.C., what's happening in D.C. You know, you watch the news. Unless you watch localized news, all they talk about is the national picture. And I understand that. That's what they're there for. They're broadcasting across the nation, so that is their constituency. But we got to remember where we live and stay in tune. Things are happening all around us. Here's a storyline, by the way, Yellowhammer News. This impacts this listening area directly. Yellowhammer News reporting as of day before yesterday. You may have heard that Dale Strong, who was running for Congress in Congressional District 5, he's running against Casey Wardinsky and some others to replace Mo Brooks. So there was actually someone who was challenging his ability to appear on the ballot. Which is interesting because he's been an elected Republican for quite some time serving on the county commission. But it's his county commission role that had these people mad. So a group Heritage Protection of North Alabama is the name of it. They took issue with the fact that being a member of the county commission, that he was present and voted apparently for the removal of the Confederate monument from the courthouse grounds during the height of all the 2020 protests. My recollection was it was moved to Maple Hill Cemetery, if I'm not mistaken, and put into a place where it's, you know, around other Confederate graves and that kind of thing. Well, the effort to bar Madison County Commissioner Dale Strong failed. So there you have it. Nice try, fellas, but you can't just knock somebody off the ballot because you didn't like the way they voted on something. Now, I think their claim was it was a violation of the law and is subjecting Madison County now to a $25,000 fine from the Attorney General. But they failed to take into account the fact that as a county commissioner, he has what the law, here I am a lawyer, what the law calls substantive immunity, all right, meaning he made a decision within the role of his job in his official capacity. You cannot impact his life personally for doing so unless you can show that he was acting outside the line and scope of his employment. So there's that. Dale Strong still on the ballot. Heritage Protection of North Alabama mad because the Confederate monument was moved, wanted him out, and they failed. All right, sticking with politics for a minute, here's a statewide one. I have not seen it yet, but I know it's out there. I'm sure we're going to see it soon. But Kay Ivey's biggest challenger for governor is Tim James. Now, Lindy Blanchard's out there, too, and there's some other candidates, Stacey George, Dean Odle. But I would say that the ones who are more likely to make her life difficult, if you will, are Tim James and Lindy Blanchard. And part of that's because they have the financial resources to do this. Well, Tim James has dropped a new ad. Have you seen it? I hadn't seen it yet. I'm curious to see it because talking to Dale Jackson yesterday, he said it's very effective. It's a new ad targeting Kay Ivey over child mask mandates. Have you noticed the fact that we still have some school districts and others that around the state that are requiring masking for kids in school? It just depends on where you live. In a minute, I'll show you about, you know, the difference in Birmingham versus Hoover. They're right next to each other. Well, Wednesday, Republican gubernatorial hopeful Tim James, according to Yellowhammer News, released his campaign's third TV ad. The 30-second spot titled "What Have We Done?" features James placing the blame on opponent Kay Ivey for what his campaign called her unwillingness to shield children from mask mandates. I think this one might resonate. I'll be honest with you. I think it's one of those social issues that people are really keyed in on right now. He starts off by saying, "What have we done to our little ones? Shutdowns and masking have caused untold damage to our children. They've fallen behind." And he goes on to talk about the issues of that. He said, "Masks are a parent's choice. It's your decision. As governor, I'll stop forced masking." So there's that coming out in your ad campaigns. You'll be watching these ads during the Super Bowl or sometime. You can't avoid them. They're everywhere. And there's one coming out. All right. What's happening? Let me find something down here. Let me pull back through my stack a second. Here's one that I just found interesting. This is a really crappy story. You're about to see why I said that. This is a really crappy story. Here's the headline. AL.com reporting yesterday that the New York poop train is coming back to Alabama. I know some of y'all just stopped what you were doing to find out what in the world I am talking about. Do you remember this? Back in 2017, 2018, we found out that huge shipping containers of sewage sludge were being sent from New York City to an Alabama landfill. Why? Now, I know why. Money. They were getting paid for it. But they were literally putting these massive containers filled with New York sewer sludge onto trains, rolling them down here, but they were going to a place called Big Sky Landfill, just about 20 miles northwest of Birmingham. And they did not have a train track going to the landfill, so it had to go into a depot in the Birmingham area to a rail yard where it was offloaded on the trucks. And then the biosolids, biosolids. Like I said, this is a crappy story. Biosolids sat on the railroad tracks sometimes for weeks at a time, waiting for the trucks to unload them, generating all kinds of complaints about overpowering odors in both Jefferson and Walker counties. So yeah, apparently we're finding out now that despite the fact that ADEM put a stop to it, somehow or another, the New York City poop trains have made their way back to Alabama. I'm not sure why we have to import poop, but you can have all your poo and keep it. We don't want your poo in Alabama. None of that Yankee poo down here. All right, enough of that crappy story. That was a pun. I hope y'all got it. Next, what else we got? Here is a interesting story I mentioned briefly a moment ago. Let me just grab it and I'll take it to the top of the stack. ABC 3340 out of Birmingham is reporting that as of 2 days ago, Birmingham City Schools, by the way, this is the same Birmingham City Schools where they just staged, the teachers union just staged a sick out. You heard me. When is this right now? Oh, that's right. We're in February of 2022. We are past the point that the pandemic should be shutting down society at this point. We really are. It just beyond it. But some of them just can't get a hold of the idea that they can't keep the power they've been enjoying for the last 2 years. Not the least of which is some of the teachers union members who believe that they are owed something. Owed you more. We want more. Well, teachers unions are not there for kids. They're there for their members. Well, City of Birmingham is putting in a stringent mask requirement. God almighty. A stringent mask requirement and additional teacher pay as part of their Birmingham school plan. You heard me. More COVID leave for employees and stricter mask requirements. Two things coming to the Birmingham City Schools. This happened during the weekend meeting, Friday? This would be Tuesday's meeting. Superintendent Dr. Mark Sullivan of Birmingham City Schools. So the recommendations being foisted upon the school board right now. Among others, additional pay for teachers who cover classes when teachers are out. Extended employee COVID leave. Why? Do you get extended employee flu leave? Do you get extended employee, I don't know, I have a cold leave? No. But any excuse with the word COVID next to it has been blanket approved for the last 2 years. So extended employee COVID leave, professional development for employees on health and safety leave during the pandemic, $1,000 stipend for participating, stronger mask requirements, which the failure to comply would be a violation of their code of conduct, and on and on and on and on it goes. However, right next door in the Hoover City Schools, they unanimously voted to make masks optional. There you go. There you go. It's all about leadership, folks. That's what guides that train. A couple things happening in the legislature right now. We've got a bill. Where's that anti-riot? Here it is. Looking through my stack. 1819 News reporting an anti-riot bill. Interesting. Think back now. What did we just come through the last 2 years? Riot hell in some places. And we had them here in Alabama. We had demonstrations that got ugly. And then we had, you know, mayors and sheriffs. I know the sheriff in Etowah County bowed down with BLM protesters. Should not have done that. Think it helped his situation? No. Mayors bowing down with BLM protesters. Statues, you know, becoming the object of, assaults and wanting them pulled down. But the worst was in other places, really. Look at Atlanta. Look at Portland, Oregon. Look at Chicago. Look, New York City. Anyway, 1819 News reports that yesterday a bill has been dubbed an anti-riot bill has passed through House Judiciary Committee. All right, it's the first level of movement in the House is to getting out of committee. It went to House Judiciary. House Bill 2 presented by Representative Alan Treadaway. All right, let me just tell you, too, I know Alan Treadaway is a good dude. Representative Alan Treadaway is actually a police captain. I think he may be retired now that I say that. He may have just retired, but he was a captain with the Birmingham City Police Department. So when you see a bill being carried by Treadaway that's called an anti-riot bill, you know he's coming from the perspective of trying to make it easier for the men and women in blue to do their jobs. Anyway, HB 2, presented by Representative Alan Treadaway, has drawn protesters and advocates from all over the state. The bill seeks to create a classification of crime. Here's the deal. For the assault of first responders, there you go, there's the law enforcement side for Alan Treadaway, I knew it. The bill seeks to create a classification of crime for assault of first responders, as well as other laws adding to the definitions of what constitutes a riot. Let's see here. Let me make this shorter. The bill would also provide that if a political subdivision of the state dissolves or defunds a local law enforcement agency, the political subdivision may not receive any state grant or aid money. Aha! Interesting. You want money? You want grants? But you're going to defund your police? You're going to call for help after you took measures to make your community less secure? How about no? It goes on to set up penalties for things that is defined as an aggravated riot. That bill is just passing through the House Judiciary. Its next move would be to come to the House floor. All right, folks, listen, first break of the day. Let's go ahead and take it. Copper, I tell you what, tell my caller if he can hang on during the break. I'd appreciate it because we got to run to this break right now before we run out of time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, working through a stack of stuff I call Sweet Home Alabama. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I'm going to run to the phones real quick. Steve from Tennessee calling in. Steve, held on during the break. Thanks so much, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I wanted to respond to your comment about kids being masked and what it's doing to them. There's a wonderful video right now posted on the Liberty Daily. You mentioned that site a while back. It's sort of like what the Judge Report used to be.
Yeah.
But there's a Liberty Daily's got a video of a teacher that filmed her students' reaction when they heard that the, as it says, the slave mask were coming off. And you don't have to see it. You can just hear it. It's awesome. So just saying that, if you want to look at it, I think your audience would probably enjoy it. But it's from Las Vegas. It said kids at a Las Vegas elementary school burst out into cheers after learning they will no longer have to wear the mask in school. Just saying. Oh, see ya.
That is awesome. That's awesome. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you, man, as always. Yes, all right. Have a great day. Steve from Tennessee, one of our north of the border guys who calls in pretty regular and always has good content. So, yeah, thanks for that very much. I totally agree, y'all. I mean, bless their hearts. I mean, some of these kids, I was doing a thing the other day on the show, that was just talking about the fact that civil disobedience is not unheard of in our country. And by the way, I was talking about it being civilized civil disobedience. I'm not advocating for any violence or demonstrations or destruction of property or, for that matter, even creating, you know, the fuss and the fight. All I'm saying is you can say no. Well, there was a group of kids. Well, I take it back. There have been groups of kids in multiple venues around the nation that have been saying no more. The kids themselves in high school and stuff are saying no more masks. We're not doing this. And what broke my heart was there was one group of kids. One of them said, I think he was a junior. He said, "We have spent the majority of our high school years so far wearing masks, and we're tired of it. We just want to get back to normal and be able to go to the prom and do the things that kids in high school should be allowed to do." And I totally agree, because what age group is seeing the least amount of difficulties in COVID world? The youth in our nation. They're usually more fit. They have a higher resistance rate. And for some reason, it does not seem to impact them the same way as it does to other adults, especially those with comorbidities. All said and done, Steve, great thing. I'm going to look for that video later on. And maybe we can even find the audio and just play the sound of the kids being told. All right. Hey, listen, by the way, I just got a text. I was letting y'all know I had a guy named K. Carl Smith calling in top of the hour to talk about a very cool thing happening in Birmingham. He just texted me his regrets. He's at an airport in Florida trying to fly back, and lo and behold, they delayed his flight just long enough, and then they started boarding. So he is literally boarding a plane right now and just sends his regrets. We'll try to get him on the show another time. He's starting something down in the Birmingham area called the Frederick Douglass STEM Academy in Irondale. Which is just, I mean, when I read it, I'm like, man, that is just cool. The Frederick Douglass, I'll just give you the quick version of it, and then we'll finish up the Sweet Home Alabama stuff at the top of the hour. But the Frederick Douglass, I told you about it yesterday, but I'm going to tell you again. In November of 1864, apparently, Frederick Douglass spoke to a majority black standing room only audience at the Bethel AME Church in Baltimore, Maryland, and he gave a 3-hour speech. Whew! That's like doing a 3-hour radio show. He gave a 3-hour speech, and he delivered a real passionate message, apparently, on the importance of hard work and self-reliance, and he encouraged these black citizens to, number one, save their money, number two, buy land, and number three, to build schools and educate their children. And listen, this is across the board something that makes good sense, right? But this K. Carl Smith is literally saying right now, they are purchasing land already in Birmingham to form what they're calling the Frederick Douglass STEM Academy. STEM, of course, standing for science, technology, engineering, and math. Because these are career fields that are too often underrepresented by the black community. And mostly because those kids don't have access to the kind of programs that move them forward in the STEM world to gain that type of education. Well, the Academy is going to provide disadvantaged students in grades K through 12 access to a high-quality STEM education, preparing them to compete and excel in STEM career-related fields. But on top of that, it's going to have a Liberty curriculum, because it's going to be there to inspire and train the next generation of Liberty advocates. And they're going to call them Frederick Douglass Liberty Ambassadors. I love this. I love this. We'll talk to K. Carl Smith when we get a chance. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. More of this stuff, Sweet Home Alabama, when I get back.
Williams, it's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. By the way, I would be remiss if I did not remind all the guys out there, Valentine's Day is Monday. Valentine's Day is Monday. I gave you a heads up, fellas. I mean, you got what? The last part of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to get your act together. So I'm just saying. And by the way, the lovely Charlene is hearing me say this right now. So, hey, baby, I'm quite aware that that Valentine's Day is Monday. So anyway, all that, fella, I gave you the heads up. That was me doing you a solid, fellas, right there. That Copper, what do you give me the laughy face for? That's
because it's funny. Also, my sister used to work for a floral shop.
Oh yeah.
And if they've forgotten to order flowers, it's too late by now.
I'm just saying, yeah, you can try to run to Publix and grab
that's
you a batch of, you know, fresh cuts, but you're not going to get roses, that's for sure, because at this point they're about so, well, the supply chain has really jacked up the flower situation too. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, like, wow. I remember, so yeah, okay, just so you know, let me just go ahead and add another piece to the overly eclectic resume of Phil Williams. So yeah, one of my jobs back in the day at Parkway City Mall in Huntsville was being the delivery guy for Bishop's Flowers. So some of y'all just had a complete flashback. Bishop's Flowers, I used to get flowers from them. I may have been the one who delivered them, who knows. But yeah, and it was one of those things where, I'll be honest, when you ordered, now I've delivered pizza, I've delivered for Steak Express, and I've delivered flowers. So I've done delivery. Pizza and steak always got a tip. Flowers never got a tip. Flowers never, because you're surprising people. They weren't ready to give you a tip. When they order pizza, hopefully you can, you know, you can give them the puppy dog eyes, and they knew you were coming, so they already had the check made out or whatever. And so anyway, yeah. So that's used to drive. Do what? Go ahead.
That's rough. Not getting a tip.
It's rough, but I will say this. Just going to go ahead and just sort of be smooth here and say, but seeing the looks on their delighted faces as I presented them flowers usually meant something. Just
nice just, touch.
But yeah, man, I'll tell you what, too. When we, I never thought about this until I started delivering flowers. Of course, it was hard to get roses, a shipment in, you know, too close to Valentine's because you had to order them so far in advance. But then the other thing was when the Rose Bowl parade was going on and they make all those floats out of flowers, you couldn't, I mean, literally we would have the most basic, you couldn't get daisies. I mean, we would literally run out of stock because the Rose Bowl parade scarfed everything up around the nation. Anyway, just a little aside for you about the overly eclectic resume of me. But yeah, Monday, Valentine's Day, don't forget. So I did have, by the way, I did have K. Carl Smith calling in. And I'm really looking forward to getting him on the show eventually because I like everything that I've gotten to know about him. I've met him a few times. I follow his writings on 1819 News. I love the fact that he defeats the narrative that the black community is only liberal and votes Democrat. But I look at stuff that's happening right now. Like, for instance, I'm still doing the Sweet Home Alabama stuff. Here's a story off AL.com dated yesterday. So the Alabama Democratic chairperson statewide is State Representative Chris England. I know Chris England. He's a pretty good guy. He's a true believer. Basically, when he says something, you can pretty much take it to the bank that he's not just posturing for politics. He believes it. And I like that. I don't mind debating that. I just don't agree with him. But he is the statewide chair of the Alabama Democratic Party. And he's taking issue with the fact that, if you recall, the Supreme Court of the United States granted a stay to the decision that had been made that we had to redraw our congressional district lines. All right, so even though the lines look the same as they have for the last 30 years for the most part, he says it's still not something to be proud of, and he believes this has been a major setback. And the thing is, it gets me, is when you read through the comments, many people talk about, well, it's, you know, there's no way for blacks to ever elect the person they want. Now, what they're saying is they are under the assumption. They are under the false narrative. They are doing the whole thing that Biden did in his campaign when he said, you know, man, if you ain't voting for me, you ain't black. Well, that's just so insulting to any member of the community who is a black American. Like they can't vote their conscience. Like there's nobody in the world that's a black man or woman who wants to vote Republican. So you have to give them more space on the map so they can do what? Vote for who? Well, they can vote for whoever they want to. But the fight here, if you noticed, all of the groups fighting for this was like the Democrat Party, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all of them believing that somehow the liberal side of politics have been disenfranchised by the drawing of our congressional lines. That's a false narrative, folks. More and more, I am meeting and coming into contact with what I would call true conservatives who are members of the black community. Good. Break the narrative. Stop with the you're ours because we're Democrats, so therefore you're ours. I mean, that's like some kind of political slavery. It's ridiculous. It's also an assumption, and it's insulting to the mindset of those people who you take for granted. And truthfully, if you stop and look at it, like I just the other day, I recognized, and I don't think I'd seen this before, that the very first ever black congressman from Alabama was a Republican. And that was during the period of Reconstruction. Interesting, huh? What else have I got? Sweet Home Alabama. Let me finish up a few things for you. Here's kind of a good news story. Charlene pointed this out to me the other day. AL Daily News is talking about the fact that right here in our listening area at the Space and Rocket Center, they're cleaning up the Apollo 16 capsule. Now, you don't think about this kind of thing, but it said it's dusty. Okay, that sounded so trite. Actually, it's been having deferred maintenance, especially through COVID. It's covered in cobwebs and dust. And this is kind of interesting that business cards, a pencil, money, spoon, a tube of lip balm, all kinds of stuff littering the floor of the giant case that it sits in because tourists were not really respecting it. So they're giving it a new case and they're doing a serious cleaning of it. And what I did not realize was how cool is this? Things like, you know, when they first put it out there, and I remember as a kid going to the Space and Rocket Center on school field trips, and you could touch the space capsule. And I always thought that was so neat. It's been to space, and now I can touch it. And my hand does not glow at night, but I can touch it. Anyway, apparently that wasn't necessarily good for a museum item, even though it was designed to go to space. The engineers, or the conservationists, I'm sorry, at the Space and Rocket Center said, yeah, the engineers made it so it could last 1,000 years. They didn't plan on tourists. So they're giving the Apollo 16 capsule, which went to the moon and back, a thorough cleaning, and they're going to have it ready for the tourists to be able to look at but not lay their hands on. One of the neat things about it, too, when I was reading this, is that the original crew's fingerprints, and that which crew was this? This is, yeah, Ken Mattingly, John Young, and Charlie Duke, astronauts who flew in the Apollo 16, that literally there's one place where the conservationist was pointing to the reporter. He says, look up there. And you could see dark handprints. He goes, those are the original crew's fingerprints and handprints right up there. And that's cool. So as they're cleaning it, they're taking steps to make sure that certain things like that don't get disturbed. I love that story. I love history. I love watching things be preserved for future generations like that. A couple things that are happening in the legislature. I want you to know, as we deal with Sweet Home Alabama, is this. Number one, State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur, been on this show several times before, we'll have him on again soon, is sponsoring a bill to deal with Alabama's abysmal math scores. So if you're not familiar, Alabama is 52nd in the nation. How are you 52, Phil? There's only 50 states. Well, we fall behind Puerto Rico, and I believe it's the Department of Defense schools overseas. So yeah, that's pretty abysmal. So I'm not saying that Puerto Rico and the DOD schools are, you know, number 51 and 50, but what I'm saying is somewhere in the mix they're added in, and lo and behold, that bumps us to 52. 52, y'all. By the way, if you're not mad about education in Alabama, I would just ask, why not? Why not? Why are you not up in arms that this state is putting more money into education than ever? We have increased the budgets for the last 10 years since Republicans got hold of the budget processes in 2010 when I went in. We have put together a reserve account for our budget in education. We have prevented proration by balancing the budget every single year. They have increased spending on education every single year. This year, they're poised to pass the largest education budget in the history of Alabama, over $8 billion. We spend more than about a dozen other states on kids in education, and yet we rank 52 in math and 50th overall. If that doesn't make you mad, those are your tax dollars. Where's the return on investment? It's zero. Well, this bill by Senator Orr would put math coaches into school systems where the kids are deemed to be lacking proficiency in math. It calls for the hiring of hundreds and hundreds of math coaches to support the educators in the classroom, to help them, to train them, to show them the latest techniques. Okay, it's going to be about a $90 million plan. And it's going to have, they're going to have a third party outside source that's going to get the contract probably to provide accountability, which I don't know. Senator Orr and I typically agree on things. This one concerns me when I just see that we're adding more money to the problem, and that's never fixed things in the past. All right, folks, that's it for Sweet Home Alabama. Let me move that to a break. When we come back, I'm going to shift gears on you. We're going to go national for a little while. I got some breaking news about what's happening in Ukraine. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. And then we're going to shift into Bidenomics. Oh, my Lord, Bidenomics. You want to call in, we can talk, too. 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.